Dies ist der neue Normalreport, der Podcast, der versucht zu definieren, wie wir als Gemeinschaft nach der Krise zusammenleben wollen. Von und mit Alexander Göbel. So, ihr Lieben, das ist der neue Normalreport von und mit Alexander Göbel, Sonderedition Autokino FAZ. St. Pölten. Noch einmal zur Erklärung, weil viele haben darum gebeten. Die wunderbaren Menschen des Veranstaltungszentrums St. Pölten haben in der Krise natürlich die einzig richtige Entscheidung getroffen, zumal ja das Frequency Festival in diesem Jahr ausfällt, aus Gründen der Krise, dass sie nämlich gesagt haben, wir machen ein Autokino. Yeah, Autokino ist zurück. Und weil sie eben gute Niederösterreicher und Niederösterreicherinnen sind und so viel Verständnis für die Kultur haben, haben sie uns Kulturschaffenden eingeladen, doch diese Bühne, wenn es sie schon gibt, auch zu nutzen und mich gebeten, dass ich für Göbel Radio Podcasts mache mit den Künstlerinnen und Künstlern, die dort auftreten werden. Es gibt lokale, regionale Größen, es gibt ein paar Stars und es gibt ein paar Weltstars. Mit Tommy Ten und Amelie habe ich bereits einen Podcast geführt. Und der zweite Weltstar, wenn ich das mal so sagen darf, ist Irina Titova. Und sie ist jetzt bei mir. Sie ist gebürtige Russin, arbeitet natürlich auf der ganzen Welt, unter anderem eben auch in Österreich, Deutschland, in der gesamten Dachregion. Und sie arbeitet sehr, sehr hart an ihrem Deutsch. Das weiß ich, das kann ich bestätigen. Aber es ist noch nicht genug für ihre Fans und für diesen Podcast. Daher haben wir uns darauf geeinigt, dass wir den Podcast auf Englisch führen. Also das ist eine reine Höflichkeitsform von mir und ich möchte nämlich von meinen Gästen das wirklich Wahrhaftige erfahren und nicht das Resultat von verkrampften Suchen nach Worten. Wir erinnern uns alle, wenn wir nach Paris fahren oder nach Barcelona, wie es uns dort geht mit unseren wenigen Kenntnissen der Fremdsprachen. Also Irina und ich werden ab jetzt auf Englisch sprechen. Ich verzichte auf Untertitel und ich verzichte auf Übersetzungen. Ich möchte deren intellektuelle Kapazität nicht beleidigen, die imstande sind, uns zu folgen. Die anderen möchte ich bitten, dass sie vielleicht jemanden dazu holen, Kinder, Enkel, die des Englischen mächtig sind und für Übersetzung sorgen. So, das war's von meiner Seite. Das ist die Intro. Und jetzt gehen wir rein in den Podcast und ich sage hello and good morning, Irina.
Hallo, guten Morgen.
Hello, how are you? Ja, guten Morgen. Schon fährt sie mir rein in die Geschichte. That sounded very good, actually.
Das ist nicht schwer hier. Guten Morgen.
Yeah, yeah, good morning works. So we build up from there. Okay, good. It is quite early in the morning and I must tell you, you look fabulous. How do you do it?
Because I was prepared.
Okay, of course you were prepared because you're a pro. Now this is the subject already we're talking about. To be a professional in the entertainment industry is one thing. And some of it you can learn. You can go to acting school, you can go to music academy, etc. Mm. But what you do, dear Irina, is not to be learned. And as far as I know, I'm not a specialist in your art, but from what I know, there is no school on earth that teaches this, right? Where and how did you learn this, for God's sake?
I was an art therapist for autistic and for deaf kids. And it was 11 years ago, I think I was 19. And part of art therapy was playing with sand, not drawing, but playing with sand.
Okay.
And once, as a mistake, someone brought a light table to our studio. It wasn't normal because for sand therapy, you don't use light tables. And it's quite creepy for kids, especially for autistic kids. They don't like bright light or something like this.
Yeah.
And we tried to draw there because, of course, we had to work with it. And I, because I like, My education, I'm an artist, I'm a drawer, so I'm a painter. And of course, I tried to draw something.
Oh, yeah.
Because I really liked it. Yeah. And I saw that kids was really enjoying it. I was really surprised. I thought that they would be scared and they would never go to the table, but they loved it so much. So maybe I was inspired by their example. Afterwards, I stand near the table like 12 hours a day, and I was so fascinated by this kind of art. So yeah, just couldn't stop myself from painting the scent. And after 1 year, I made my first videos and my first performances. Yes.
And then things took off into the wide world.
Yes, yes. It was good, quite quickly.
Good for you. Now, since you have worked as a therapist for autistic children, when they loved that working with the sand, do you reckon, was it the creativity itself, being able to paint, so to say, with sand, with the color coming off of their hands, which is a very sensual process, or was it the result that they could do something that actually made sense, even though it may be abstract?
At first, thank you for this question. I hear this question for the first time. It's an interesting one. I think that for autistic kids, because with people who know more or less what it is, they know that for them, it's very hard or completely impossible to be creative. And for us, it was the first aim is to make them something, not to copy something, but to imagine, to create something by their own. And yes, I think with the scent, I saw it for the first time. Why? Maybe because when you have a paper, like the list of paper, you have a pen. So you can, you have something between the paper and the hand.
Yeah.
But when you draw on the scent, you have direct connection with the material.
Oh.
And this material is very authentic for us, because when we are small kids, everybody is playing on the playground with the scent, like everybody, literally. It's the first material when we start to feel ourselves, not only visitors, or we became the creators in our world.
Yeah,
and for us, the feeling of the scent of this material is the first memory of being creative. So I think for everybody, and especially for autistic kids, it's more natural. So maybe they can find something really deep themselves. And of course, I definitely found it. I really like the feeling of the scent in my hands.
Yeah. Well, before we get to you, which is interestingly enough, I'm still interested in this therapeutic process with the children. Now, when they found out that they can do it as well, did it do something to the, can we call it a healing process with those kids? Did it calm them down? Did it make them more peaceful? Did they lose some of their fear?
Yes, sure.
Hmm.
I don't think that autistic kids really have fear in our, like we're both thinking about fear. I think they have a different kind of fear, and we cannot think about them like in our emotional level. They have completely different emotional level. But for them, as I told, they don't like really the bright light or sounds.
Yeah,
unexpected and loud sounds, and but for them it was really cool. So for them, they could stand.
Allow me to interrupt, Irina. When I said fear, I meant that they aren't they sort of fearful or resentful of people. They have a social barrier. Most of them, right? They try to keep to themselves, and why they are. Some of the autistic people I have met in my lifetime were close to genius. They have immense, incredible talents that they follow passionately. So is the sand one of them?
Yes, I think it could be. Mm-hmm. I think it could be. Mm-hmm. I think if one person with a autistic person want to draw the sand professionally, I think definitely he would be the best one, because they're really they're incredibly talented. They're, as you said, they're really focused on that.
Yes,
doing.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And other schools and other institutions for autistic people or children. Do they do now what you did then? Is this a part of their curriculum now?
I think in Russia, yes. In Russia, definitely, yes. I think
really?
Before, yeah, definitely. Because at first, it became in 5 years in Russia, in my time, quite popular. So I'm yes. sure that, of course, I had some EDU students. I
yes.
have a group for the teachers, special group for the teachers who are worked with autistic kids and who are worked with special kids. And I have a special group for SEND therapy.
Wow.
So I know that some of my students are minimum five who are working now in this area. So, yes, I'm sure.
Wow. So you're a pioneer. You're an
MBC, yes, I think, yes.
And you're a pioneer educator. So can we expect a statue, at least in Moscow, if not even in St. Petersburg, of Irina Titova, the founder of the new therapy?
Find more of a new therapy.
Yeah.
maybe some paragraph in a book.
Oh.
Because there are like really books for scent therapy at all, because it's like a huge
really?
Part of Jung, Carl Jung.
Okay.
He was the founder of the scent therapy. And
yeah.
Yes, and I think it could be the part of this scent therapy, I hope.
Maybe. Good. Well, I shall talk to the Russians, and they shall give you your statue, and with roses every day. No, because I am impressed, Irina. You know, because it only shows me that real progress is sometimes not a result of studying and reading books and writing papers years and years and years ongoing, but of one single genius moment that you obviously had, that one day when you thought, here is one thing I love, which is the children who need me, and here's another thing I'm at least fascinated by, which is the sand. When I put them together, it could evolve into one big new thing. And I'm putting an empathy on this because I think that we're now going into a phase globally where we need ideas, innovation. We need Irina's of the world to come up with new combinations, especially when it's around children and those who we tended, I'm trying to be very careful now, I'm just going to say it. We tend to lock away them. Now we don't lock them away physically anymore, but in our hearts we do. It's a kind of a taboo. We know they're there. We know families with autistic children, but we kind of don't want to, because we feel guilty, right? And
right.
And so now with this sand therapy, there is a new way for us to applaud something that does these young people, these human beings, good. So it's not only purely entertainment, but there's a meaning behind it. And I'm very, very impressed that you do it. Now, do you still have fun? Don't give me a professional PR answer now, because I know that with everything I do, and I'm a professionally trained actor, and I've always been a musician, and I do all kinds of different things, such as this here now. But
I know.
thank you. But I have come to a point where I had to realize that however much you love what you do, there's always points in your life when you make it your profession when exactly the same thing goes onto your nerves big time. It starts with packing your suitcase because you go on a tour. You don't want to leave your family and your kids and your dog, and you know, you go out there and you think, oh, how's the audience gonna be? Do they like? Do you ever have that, or is it still the same magic than day number one?
As you asked me not to give a professional answer.
Yes, please.
I can really rely myself to what you said, but I'm also so sorry to leave my small family, but still, and to go somewhere and maybe for 1 month, maybe for 2 months, and to perform every day. It's of course, you're getting tired. And of course, you're miss home at... always.
Yeah.
I wanted to say first 2 days, but actually it's always.
Yeah.
And I can really suffer. It could be a really bad week. For example, when I'm ill, sometimes it's happening on tour when I'm really ill.
Yeah.
And but when I'm going on the stage, in this moment, when I'm going on the stage.
Yeah. Oh, then it's all. And it's fine. Really, yeah. Completely. Of course. Like, oh yeah,
I feel myself healthier. I feel myself funny. Yeah. I feel I love everybody who is sitting there.
Yeah.
I really love to see what people faces. Yeah. Like for me, it's great when the people laugh, because of course people. It's quite easy to make the people cry.
Yeah.
But make the people laugh is really cool.
Well, that's why we do it. That's the reason. That's the real reason why we do it. And the psychological reason, because you cited Jung before, is hey, we want to be loved. That's all there is. We want to be loved, you know, and
to love.
And to love and give, right. So whatever reason is fine. José Carreras, the huge opera singer, once told me, and I found that so spot on, that as a performer, before your concert, before the gig, it's hell. While the gig, on stage, it's heaven. And afterwards, it's back to earth. And I think that fits it very well. That describes our feelings very, very well. Now, it seems to me, because I've seen some of your work throughout the years, that you are constantly working on new ways to not only present, but to reach a peak, a standard in your work that is not traceable anymore. Because if you see a singer throwing his head back while singing, now that's a shot that most live photographers are dreaming of course, right? And you are literally producing that moment. So obviously you're a dream catcher, as the native American Indians would say. You catch moments. Now, do you work after photographs or after pictures in your mind?
I think with the scent, I can compare it to... my mind is working in this process of creative like a computer program, I would explain it. Because at first I look at the references, I looked at the pictures, I looked at the, we talked with our director, Katrin, about some visual ways or about some scenography. And afterwards, when I have all the references in my mind, when I have this base of image, right? It's like computer program. I can work with it. So afterwards, I'm going to the table without any pictures. It's very dangerous to have pictures here, because you would start to copy it. You just have to feel, or you don't need pictures. You need your feeling about pictures. You need your expression about pictures. And with this material, you already start to work. With everything that you have, after a long preparation process, you start to work only with everything that you have in your head.
And in your heart.
Yeah, because my eyes have to be concentrated only at the table.
Yes.
I cannot look to something else. Yeah.
Me personally, when it comes to art, Irina, I, ever since I've seen it for the first time on television, for example, Tibetan art, the art of the mandalas, I really, really, really love this art form. And to me, it seems that what you do has a lot to do with mandalas. In fact, it is a mandala maybe without the religious context. But what you do is you create in a sort of magic way, as it comes to most of us, we cannot believe how you do it. And you create a piece of art. And as soon as it's done, you destroy it again. It's gone. So it's only there for moments, like life, like love. You know, you see someone, you talk to him, boom, it's there. And next time it could be away. It could last forever, God give that it may. But I would like to find out about your relationship to this mandala concept. How hard is it for you to destroy your own art every time?
It's very interesting that you talked about your remembered about mandalas. It's like direct connection.
Yes.
One of the most bright celebration in Buddhism.
Yeah.
Is I think you're talking about this, but they're creating the mandala for 40 days.
Yes.
And then it's like really the colored mandala. It's very, very thin lines, and it's a hard work for 5 monks are doing it for 40 days.
Yes, yes.
At the moment,
with right, direct powder, sometimes with only powder, right? With little pipes where they send the powder because they have these very fine lines. It's amazing. And you do the same thing.
But when they finished this mandala, immediately, in the moment when this mandala is finished, they destroy it.
I know, but there's a reason, right?
Of course, it's about the life and creation. It's the same. It's about that you cannot keep something, that everything that created from Earth will go to Earth. It's this very beautiful moment of, I think it's the whole philosophy of Buddhism inside this ritual. And it's the same with the sand, because the people often ask me if I'm regret destroying my picture. No, not regret.
No.
For me, it's already this process, because of course, when you see Mona Lisa in Louvre, you see it only for a second.
Yes.
You see it and you cannot keep it. Oh, some people, of course, maybe someone can buy it and put it on.
Not yet. I haven't heard it, but nobody would be surprised, right? Nobody.
Yes, it would be great. And in one moment, it could happen. Or you can hand photography, I don't know. But anyway, you're seeing it only for a moment. You cannot see it constantly here.
Yes.
And it's the same with the sand picture. Of course, you see it only for a few seconds, and then it's transforming, then it's going away. And it just ends here in eyes and mind of the audience. And of course, it's I think especially this moment is very fascinating. I'm really fascinated about sand art, because in the moment, every show is unique, every show is different, and this show doesn't stay in record or anywhere. It just stays between me and the audience, and this is very beautiful.
Do you
me and like 700 people?
Do you celebrate that very moment of destroying with your audience? Because in Buddhism, it's a gift to the gods as well, right? You give back to the gods what the humans have created. Now, I've always been a little bit shocked when I saw you about the nonchalance that you have with destroying your art at this very moment. And I thought, oh God, couldn't we celebrate it a little, at least with a countdown of 10, or with giving the audience, now that's what I would do if I could do what you do. Sounds like a song. invite the audience to mentally and with their hearts give this piece of art now to someone they love, you know. So it's just not, oh, that was good, okay, I rip it off, I, you know, throw away the piece of paper. It shouldn't be. It's still art, and it should be celebrated. What do you say?
It's very beautiful to see. Yes, I think the celebration is transforming the picture. So it's I really love this moment of suspense when you're starting to destroy the picture, and I think the people get this feeling that, oh no, it's going away, now she's destroying it, but then it transforms in one moment to another picture. And I think this is very beautiful. So this is the celebration,
and that's
afterwards, this is a celebration.
And isn't this a transformation of the idea of reincarnation? Because it's Buddhism after all, you know. And maybe if we tell, now I am interfering with your show, I'm sorry, but that's my creative mind freaking out at the moment. With knowing that so many of us are so fearful of death, and therefore trying to buy the Mona Lisa, for example, or the biggest yacht in the world, or another airplane, you know, because they think they can defy death by owner.
Save some.
Yes, by ownership of things.
Yeah. They can buy the internus. People think that they can buy the internus. It's like the.
It's not on.
Most stupid joke ever.
Yeah, right. Buy. And still, it works like crazy, you know. So if we tell people, don't fear death, because it's just a transformation of, you know, into another picture that you can start doing now with the sand of your own soul. God, I'm very poetic this moment at this early time.
I'm listening to you very
well. No, it's you. You inspire me, because I'm a huge fan of your whole story, not only of your art, but the story. I think your story is so fascinating, and the way you do it. Now, let's get into it. A special sand, yes or no?
Yes. Sure.
Sure.
Yes.
Special sand.
Special. Sure. Sure. It's this special sand, and it's half of volcanic sand, because I really love volcanic sand.
Of course. Yeah. So does Earth, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
They love Earth. Loves this sand for growing stuff.
Yeah, really.
You have the best plants and the best fruits and everything around volcanic areas, because
maybe I shall have a garden in this case.
Ooh.
I don't think about this.
Now we're talking.
Maybe,
see?
Crazy.
Okay, so special sand. As a singer, I need to sing all the time. I need to exercise my voice. As an actor, I need to memorize my words, etc., etc. Do you rehearse?
Yes, sure. Yes, of course I rehearse. Of course, especially when I'm prepared. It's a premiere.
Okay.
And I have a premiere very often, because I have a lot of unique shows that I'm preparing for a special event.
Oh, so you
charity event.
So you're recreating pictures that fit to the event.
Yes, the pictures and the scenography and everything. So
wow.
I think for every event, of course, I have a show. I have a Verlitten Österreich show. I have in 18 Bildern um die Welt.
Okay.
For the German show, of course, it's like a full evening performance. But sometimes I'm taking part for the events with the classical music, or for charity events, or for even commercial events, good commercial events, and for good guys. And yes, I created all the time the stories for the special for them.
Okay,
because I think it's very beautiful that you can create something personal.
Ha. Tell me about it. But they should pay a lot for it too. You know, it's when you say good commercial, there is no good and there's no bad commercial. It's commercial. That's why we do it. I resent strictly the notion that what artists do for themselves, and it's so much fun that they love it and that's all they need. No, no. We need money to pay bills, okay? And then on top, you get the bonus of us loving what we do. And don't you think that audiences realize if there is an artist on stage who doesn't like what he or she does?
No.
Oh, they do.
No, I don't think.
Oh, they do.
Really?
Oh, they do.
Really?
Yeah, and they don't even notice. It's subconscious. They see a moment. You know, when you talk to someone and you think, is he telling the truth? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, and this transports to the audience as well. I tell that to my students all the time. You know, not only is there a Hollywood producer in every performance, you know, you go out and you think there's a Hollywood producer in every performance, but there's audience who breathe with you. And when you lose rhythm, which you do when you don't love, they notice, because they're then apart from you, one breath away. And so I really love to talk to people who I can be sure love what they do. And obviously you love what you do. Now, the time has run, dear Irina. I must come to a close, but I tell you what, one day we'll do an extensive interview going deep into your art and your philosophy on Goebel Radio, if you give me the time graciously at some point.
I would love to.
Okay, good. And because there's so much more to talk about you and your mandalas. And now, your gig is, tell us again, when you're on stage in St. Pölten.
I'm on the stage in St. Pölten at 29th May.
Okay.
At 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, 8 Uhr, yeah?
8 Uhr.
Very good. Okay. And you play, you perform, is there a best of in sand?
Best of?
Yes. There is?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It would be the best of Verliebt in Österreich.
Oh, okay.
Like the best parts of Verliebt in Österreich show for 1 hour.
Okay. Good. So we could give it the subtitle, I am in Austria.
I'm sorry, I am in Austria.
Yeah. Because the big hit here is I am from Austria, you know, which both of us cannot say. We're not allowed to say that because we were not born here. But we can say wholeheartedly, I am in Austria. Ich bin in Österreich. So, yeah. So thank you very much for dedicating me this half hour. Thank you very much for your personal story. Thank you for the work with the children and for those who are listening now and saying, how can someone be so disciplined and go on and on and on? Well, she's a dancer, ladies and gentlemen. She learned classical dancing, and that job is nothing but discipline. So there you go. And next time the two of us talk, we'll get deeply into the Russian heart, into the Russian art, into Russia as part of Europe, I insist, because of literature and dancing. And we talk about the evolving of Irina Tetova. I wish you all the best on stage, and I hope we see you again. What do you say?
Thank you, Alex. It was a great morning.
Thank you. So
hopefully we will see each other.
Yes, we will. You know, nice people always meet twice, that I learned. Okay? Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.